Well, let's jump in. We have a few thoughts to share this evening. We're just going to touch on the continuing on this theme of in him or in whom we have, something that the Lord had been stirring in my heart for a couple of months, and just meditating on that. It kept coming up in my heart, and just meditating on the scriptures around that, in whom we have redemption. And one of the things that we have, you could say a benefit or an effect of that, is that we've been made righteous. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And so we want to look at that this evening. As we start this lesson this evening, why don't we turn there to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, and let's remind ourselves of what the scripture says that we have. I was sharing on Sunday, when we have something, when we say in whom we have, I'm thinking you just here before I share this, when you say you have something, that means you've taken possession of something. You own it. You have it. And remember what Peter said in the book of Acts. He said to the layman or the man that sat by the gate, beautiful, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." You can't give something you don't have. And so we have something in Christ. We have redemption. We have righteousness. We have some things. And so it's good to walk through and look at what we have. And of course, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "In whom," in Christ, or in him, "we have." Do you have that? It says, "In him you do." Let God be true and every man a liar. It says, "In whom we have," what? "Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Glory to God. So we have redemption. So we could write around and say, in whom we have healing, in whom we have peace, in whom I have eternal life, in whom I have salvation. Hallelujah. And so I like what it says in the Amplified Classic. It expands on that, It says, "In whom we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through his blood, the remission, forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and of trespasses, in accordance with the riches and," what? "Generosity of his gracious favor." Glory to God. And then in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, in the King James Version, it says, "Who hath," if you said "hath," it means have, has, "who has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Now, some folks say, "Oh, it'll all be, by and by when we get to heaven." Well, this says here, we've been translated, what? "Hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So when you look at, even in verse 13, it says, "We've been delivered from the power of darkness." That word "power" is exousia, and it means delegated influence. And so we've been delivered from the authority of Satan over our lives. He has no control or rule anymore over our lives. His power has been broken. So he has no right over us. We've been made righteous. We are now right with God. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, I want to take a few minutes before we continue and look at something that we were sharing this morning during prayer time, and look at it not necessarily in the light of prayer, but look at it in the light of redemption. And let's look at the New Living Translation, and then we'll look at the Passion Translation of Mark 4:24 and verse 25. And this was really insightful. It's a familiar scripture, but I like this in these two translations. It says in the New Living Translation, verse 24 of Mark 4, it says, "Then he added, 'Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more.'" Verse 25. "To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given." That's when we hear, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Now let's look at Mark 4, 24 and 25, and the Passion Translation. You have to be diligent and go after some things where God's word is concerned. Verse 24, it says, "Then he said unto them," this is Jesus speaking, "be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you." You've got a hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the Beatitudes, it said, and you'll be filled. You shall be filled. Let's look at verse 25 now in Mark 4. "For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have." So whatever area, now we're looking at this subject of redemption, we don't know everything. But it says if we just come with open hearts, "Lord, I desire to learn more. I desire to know more of who I am in Christ and what I've gained." And it says, if you come with open hearts, more revelation will be given. And it says, according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. So sometimes we think we can quote a couple of scripture verses, and we think we know something. But this is saying here that there's more. In other words, verse 25, "For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation." So there's more to know, more to understand, more to see in the Word of God. But we have to have hungry hearts and a longing to know. So that doesn't mean just on Sunday morning or Wednesday or whatever. That means a longing to know him. You know, I know during the Life in the Spirit conference, which we had in November, and we're planning again, and we'll let you know when those dates are this year. But Reverend Hockaday said, this isn't just about, you know, praying. It says it's knowing him. It's having a fellowship and a relationship with God. You know, there was something shared this week. Let me just turn over there. I'll get there. But there was a statement made in out of the book of Philippians, and I thought, you know, that is a good point to make. And it was talking about in chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 6 and 7 and 8, Philippians 2, verse 6, 7, and 8. Let me look that up in another translation, because the King James sometimes, let me just quick look this up in the New Living. Let me just see here if that has... Yeah, the New Living is... Let's look at that in the New Living Translation. I think that may help. And verse 6, 7, and 8 of Philippians says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Verse 7, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Some translations say he gave up his divine, or his deity, his, not his deity, his divine privileges would be a better way of saying it. excuse me. He gave up his position, or it says his divine privileges, but he did not give up his fellowship and his interaction with his Father. So he came down to this earth, humbled himself, gave up his divine privileges, and became as a man. But he didn't give up his interaction and fellowship with the Father. And I think that's what I'm saying here, is that when we talk about knowing him, there's more to know. And we should be hungering and longing to know him more, and to know more of about our relationship with God, and that longing and that hunger to know him more. And that's really not just, how are we going to know him? We're going to know him through his word, and then he will begin to do what? Reveal himself through his word by his Spirit. And he will begin to enlighten us, reveal in our hearts, in our spirit, you know, exactly who he is and, you know, what we are to him. So this, you know, another scripture verse that comes to mind is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. And a lot of times we, you know, kind of, I call it, gloss over some scriptures sometimes. But in verse 13, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I like this here in the Amplified Classic in verse 13. It says, not in your own strength. So I think, and I want to pause here, because a lot of times we think that we have to do all of these things in our own strength, in our own ability, even where it comes to knowing God, even you know, our desire and our longing and our passion to know him. He has put in us his love. So even here in this verse, it says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and do what? Both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So even God puts in us the desire to long for him. Because our spirits now have been changed. We've been made right with God. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And so now, yeah, this flesh may not want to, this soul may not want to. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't do, I want to. There's this war, this fight going on. Well, God places in us a hunger and a desire to know him and to do his will. So let's remind ourselves, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's look at the New Living Translation. Says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. So my new life is in Christ. My spirit has been changed. I have a brand new heart. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 in the New Living Translation says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So he became sin itself. Jesus did. And I like, this is the Wood translation, W-O-O-D. And I like this 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, think of it. It says, Christ, the sinless, was made the personification of sin for us. In other words, he became sin itself. He became the personification of sin for us, meaning for every man, in order that in union with him, meaning in union with Christ, we might become the very righteousness of God. That's why Jesus, when it said he set aside his divine privileges, in other words, he was not operating as God in his divine role or his position, he was operating as a sinless man. So he began to operate, as the scripture says, as the second Adam. So Jesus, as Pastor Clinton used to say, he was our prototype, meaning this is how we should operate here in Christ. In Galatians 2:20, I like this. Let's look at this in the Passion Translation. In Galatians 2:20, it says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. See, it's talking about being in union with him. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. So when we see something, when it says, my new life is empowered by what? The faith of the Son of God. Well, I'm going to go back and reference again Mark 4:24, when it says in the Passion Translation, and according to the depth of your longing to understand, more will be added to you. For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. Well, when revelation comes, and actually you can read that in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or you can look at Psalm 119:130, the entrance of his word giveth light. Some translations say they give revelation. So this life that we live by the faith of the Son of God comes from us continually feeding on the word of God. So that what happens? Light comes, and then when light comes, faith is there. Faith increases. You know, some say, well, you know, I don't know about faith increasing. Well, can revelation increase? This says right here, the more that you long for, more you have open hearts, more revelation will come. Well, if more revelation comes, then more understanding, more light shines in. That means faith is there. And so where there's faith, yeah, you have to act just like James said. If you don't act upon what you know or what you see, it's your faith is dead. So this faith that we have, we need to have faith in what? That we're righteous, that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. A lot of times, you know, people as they go through life and they walk through life, they may feel somewhat, you know, condemned, or they have certain thoughts that come. But the scripture says in Romans chapter 8, and verse 1, in the King James, it says, there is therefore what? Now, no condemnation to them which are, or who are, in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that word walk after or walk not, it just means you conduct your life that way. So if we don't, it doesn't mean you're not going to miss it. It just means you don't regulate your life after a certain way or a certain lifestyle. So for us, let's look at Romans chapter 6. And look at the King James and then look at the Johnson paraphrase. But it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And I like this. This is the Johnson paraphrase. It says, so that we are no longer controlled by old habits and attitudes. Sin has been broken. And back to what we shared in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. In other words, Satan's control, his authority over us to live a certain way has been broken. And Jesus, by his Spirit, has taken up residence with eternal life and has placed in us faith and the love of God. And we now can live by faith. Yeah, we may miss it, and we do, but God is there mercifully to forgive our sins. He said, He is faithful, and if we confess our sins, He is, in 1 John 1 and 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of what? All unrighteousness. Well, if we're cleansed from all unrighteousness, what does that make us? Righteous. And so we need to remind ourselves, and I like this particular scripture in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I like this. This is another translation. It's the Lovett, L-O-V-E-T-T, of Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, God's work in Christ far exceeds any damage done to us by Adam's fall. So that means his work, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in us. He has raised us from the dead. And that old nature was crucified or co-crucified with Christ. So when he was on the cross, you know, Jesus didn't really, what's the best way I say this? He didn't really experience sin, the full weight of sin until he was on the cross. And he took the full weight of sin and he became sin. And so that we could do what? Take on his righteousness. So we need to stop looking at the damage done in us and look to the cross. Look to the blood of Jesus and look to what Christ has done for us. And so we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now let's look at Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17, familiar scripture verse in the New Living Translation. Says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater, isn't that great? Even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it, glory to God. So you got to receive it. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin through this one man, Jesus Christ. So we have to receive this wonderful gift of grace and of righteousness. And it said, for all who receive it will live a triumphant life over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Didn't say you weren't going to miss it, but the mere fact that we have received his grace, we've received redemption, and we received his righteousness through Christ, through his blood, we shall and will live a triumphant life. I like this in the J.B. Phillips translation. of Romans 5:17 said, "For if one man's offense meant that men should be slaves to death all their lives, it is a far greater thing that through another man, Jesus Christ, men, by their acceptance of his more than sufficient grace and righteousness, should live all their lives like kings." Glory to God. And I like that, because in the King James it says, "We will reign in life through one Jesus Christ." That's what it says in the King James Version. So we shall and we will reign in this life. So God has designed it, I guess you could say, or purposed that we should reign in life. You know, I was sharing this morning again during prayer, but it has application here, that we have been seated with Christ in heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And in this book on the authority of the believer, by John A. McMillan, he made this point. He said, "The elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers, potentially for the present, of the authority which is his. They are made to sit with him. That is, they share his throne. To share a throne means, without question, to partake of the authority which it represents." So in other words, we've been made to be seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. So we are sharers of his authority in Christ. That means we have, he gave us or delegated to us the use of his name. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. So when we use that name, it's as if he's here speaking that, and he's here decreeing. So we are what? Decreeing things on his behalf. We have delegated authority. We are co-sharers of his authority. So this says here, goes on to say, "Indeed, they have been thus elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose, that they may even now exercise to the extent of their spiritual apprehension authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions which those powers have brought upon the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of minds and circumstances of mankind." But he said, we exercise to the degree of our apprehension. So that's why when we shared in Mark 4:24, that we come with open hearts to do what? To know him, to long more for understanding. And as we do, as we listen with open hearts, we will receive more revelation. I know a lot of people, you know, they are praying to God. They want results. Otherwise, they wouldn't be going to God and praying. They want results. But they need to have revelation as to how to go about obtaining those results and the measure of faith that's exercised. So how does that come? Through further insight, revelation, faith in the Word of God. So we're not asking for more faith. He's given us all things. We were sharing this Sunday. Let's look at this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. In the King James, it says, Ephesians 1, 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And this is the New Living Translation. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ." So we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. We are seated and co-sharers of his authority to do what? Speak on his behalf. That's what we're doing down here. We're speaking on his behalf, just like Jesus was speaking on behalf of the Father. He said, "I don't do anything unless I see or hear my Father say it, or see my Father do it." So he was speaking on behalf of the Father. Well, we're doing the same thing. Through Christ, we're speaking on behalf of heaven. We're decreeing some things. We're enforcing, taking back what the devil has stolen. Now look at listen to this in the Norley translation, N-O-R-L-I-E. It says, "Who hath blessed us with in Christ," this is Ephesians 1:3, "who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys." So heaven enjoys some things, and it says we've been blessed in Christ with every blessing that heaven enjoys. Well, one of those blessings is redemption. One of those blessings is healing. One of those blessings is eternal life. One of those blessings is righteousness, being made right with God through Christ. One of those blessings is authority in Christ. And so when the scripture says all power has been given unto Jesus in heaven and earth and under the earth, we're down here speaking on his behalf. We're decreeing on his behalf and commanding things to change at his direction. And so it's important that we need to understand Jesus was bold. We have, it says, in him we have boldness and access. So we can stand in righteousness or in right standing with God. We can stand in boldness and access in Christ. And we can take back some things that have been, you know, messed up or taken by the devil. We can rule and reign, as it says in Romans chapter 5. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Says we can rule and reign in this life in and through Christ. So we just wanted to share a few thoughts along the line of redemption and righteousness, and that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We have been made right with God. And I like this one particular scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 23. In the Passion Translation, if you've been born again, if you've believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, then you've been made righteous or right with God. But 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 in the Passion Translation, I think this says it well. says, "For through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again. And this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live and grow inside of you forever." But that seed can be watered. That seed can be increased. And so we can water, we can plant more seed. And that's why we were reflecting on Mark 4, that our longing to understand and to know, much more will be added to you. And so this seed, you know, a lot of times people think, well, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll know more. Well, that's true, we will. But what you know and what you've learned and what you see, you're going to take with you. Now, yeah, we'll learn more and we'll know more. We'll know even as we're known, the scripture says. But what we know here, we're going to take with us. Because why? It says it, that seed will never be destroyed and will live forever. So it's time to, you know, take hold of the Word of God, begin to hunger and thirst and long to know Him more, long to receive more, or come with open hearts. You know, take 10 or 15 minutes and just during the day and just say, "Lord, I'm here. I have an open heart." Or as you're reading the Word of God, say, "Father, I come with an open heart, not thinking I know everything from this scripture. I may even know it. I may have read it 100 times, but I come with an open heart to know more." So that what? You can rule and reign as kings in this earth. Praise God. And I desire that, and I know you do too. And I believe this year there's more insight, more revelation given. And this area can be applied in any area. Longing to know more, longing to have more wisdom to run a business, having to have more wisdom to be more prosperous on your job, having more wisdom and understanding in the scriptures to pray more effectively. And, you know, it could just go on and on here, but all of the blessings that are been given to us in Christ, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Glory to God. Praise God. But you got to receive them. Glory to God. You know, there was a statement I wrote down, and it says, if you don't see yourself as changed, you never will be. In other words, you've got to see yourself as different. In other words, what do I mean? If you never see yourself as different, you will never be different until you see yourself as different or see yourself differently. You know, so often, you know, when I say, you know, see yourself differently, see yourself the way the Word says you are. See yourself the way Christ sees you. He sees you, God sees you in Christ. Why? It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. So begin to see yourself that way. Begin to see yourself as righteous. Begin to see yourself as bold in Christ. We're not talking about your personality. We're talking about from your heart. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you for your Word. Thank you that it is spirit and life. And we thank you that the entrance of it continues and continually gives us revelation and insight. And we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you that we are growing in the Word of God, growing in revelation. We desire more to know of you, and we desire and long to know you more so that we can be more fruitful, as your Word says in the Gospel of John, to stay connected to the vine, and that you prune the branches so that they will be produce more fruit. And so, Father, we desire to produce more fruit in every area of our lives. And so, Father, we thank you. We consecrate our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just before we receive our offering, we just extend to those watching, if you happen to be watching, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. The Scripture says that we are to do what? Believe in our heart unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And then it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So that simple instruction for us is to just confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. And let's say that, Father God, I believe that Jesus came to this earth at your direction in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And so now I receive him, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. And I confess him as my Lord. And I believe that he was raised from the dead. And now I ask him to come into my heart, take up residence, make something new of me, cleanse me with your blood, and I purpose and will serve you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that simple prayer, just let us know, and you can send either an email to us, or you can mail us, or by phone you can call us, and we will send you some free information as to who you have become in Christ.